Good morning.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you so much for having us. We just love coming out to Southern California. As Allison said, our daughter-in-law, Kristen, and our son, Paul, are at Pendleton. This is our second time at this duty station. So we've been coming out since our granddaughter was born, and she's seven. And got to meet Allison along the way both times. So we've been really blessed by the friendship with the Rogers family, too. And Momco is not new to me or Jamie. I have been a mentor or involved on some level at our Momco, at our church in upstate New York, where there's a lot of snow right now, and it definitely feels like Christmas. But we've been involved at our church with Momco since, I've been a mentor since 2007, off and on in different roles. Now I'm wearing two hats, which I understand someone else is, with the kids and the mentor thing. So I feel so relaxed today, because normally I'm running around with all the children. So we're really happy to be here.
So, and just thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here today. Families are a big deal in our country, in our society, and pouring into families and investing in them is really important. And what you're doing, getting together and supporting each other in your growth of your families is really important. And one of the things that we believe at our Mission Family is that we can change the world one family at a time, and that's all it takes. To make a big change in the world. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about what we do at Mission Family and how to use a family mission statement.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
We're usually like this, and I'm usually like poking him, and then I'm looking at this, what's next? But I have to have my like safety notes here. Okay, it's my turn now?
Yeah.
Okay, so, our story.
No.
Oh. Okay. See, so this one we'll do this all day.
We've done this probably like hundreds of times,
yeah.
But we still.
This is 10 years, 14 yeah. years, 14 yeah. years we've been doing this. And we do this all the time,
yeah.
so it doesn't change.
Just and you have some notes on your table
oh,
there
yeah,
also.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. There's an outline. You can follow along. So then if we get really disorganized, you can go, wait, you missed a point.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll say, keep going.
Yeah, our simple goals for today is really just to encourage you to parent intentionally and think about the end in mind. And that's what really today, if you can take one thing away from today, is to consider what the end in mind is when your children leave your home. And that's the theme for today. We also want to just provide you a taste of what we do in the Mission Family process about putting a family mission statement together. And we'll work through some of that also.
Okay. So we have three sons, and they're 17 and 19 months apart. And so when we first got married, it took us a while to have children. We had three children, and we had just moved to Homer, and they were like, you know, 5, 6, and 7, or maybe 4, 5, 6. And life was chaotic. We had just moved from one community where we had a very strong support system. My mother-in-law wasn't too far away. And we moved to a new community where things were all new to me. Our oldest was going to start school, which was scary to get him in a new school. And then Jamie had a new position as CEO of a dairy cooperative, a large business, and so he was commuting, and he was gone, and life was just chaotic, and I said, help, right, to him, in not such a nice way, and he suggested that we do a mission statement for our family, because he had done a mission statement at work with his new job, and to get people on the same page, and I was like, no. You're crazy. I don't need a mission statement. Oh, that I don't need that. I need you home more. I need more rules. I need, like, you know, help. But I had a mentor in my life telling me how to come under my husband's authority and to be his helpmate. So I, okay, we have to go through a mission statement. And it really was a turning point in our marriage and in our family to get us on the same team. And it really helped guide us as a family what as Jamie said, the end in mind is for our family. It helped us come together as a team and really work together to parent. It's really hard to try to do everything that we think we're supposed to do, you know, work and care for the kids and, you know, in my case, take care of aging parents. There's always so much going on. And so it's really important to have that end in mind, that vision, so that you don't get so distracted and you can focus on what you both say are the main things. And it really was helpful.
So we get it. Parenting is a little crazy.
Kristen's husband is the one with the big smile there, oldest.
So this was February of 1994 when our youngest was born and our oldest was not yet three. And so we know what the chaotic life is. It seems like that stretch in life that some of you are in right now will never end. The diapers will never end. The making of the meals is never going to end. It's just a constant struggle. But believe me, and I'm sure you've heard this from your parents or other people, that this period of our life is a relatively brief period that we're going to talk about today. But it does move on. And so fast forward for today, we have three adult children. They're all married. We have three grandchildren. And this was a recent picture when we got together with them on the East Coast. And we don't get together with them very often, all of them together, but it's a real treat when we do. So before we get into the actual process of talking about a family mission statement and what we do in Mission Family, we want to tell you a little bit about our story, because I think it's helpful for if people understand who we are and where we come from.
So I grew up in suburban New Jersey in a very close-knit family, but church was just one of those things we did. In my mind, a lot of times it was kind of social. So I really was not saved. I did not become a Christian and understand putting Christ at the center of my life until many years after leaving home. And I'm a real list maker. And I'm a recovering type A list maker. And I had my list, right? So I was going to go to college, check. Career, check. Husband, check. And now I was ready to have children. And God said, nope, not yet. And my whole image of who I was kind of crashed, right? Because now what people would see in me, I had a job, I had a husband, but I didn't have children. And it's still, as you saw my family, but it still makes me cry. It was a really hard moment for me because I felt so helpless and I felt so hopeless. Like, who am I if I can't achieve being a mother, right? And it's not an achievement. It's not how our lives should be. So during that time of hopelessness and helplessness, God really showed up through people, just through his love. Like when you get to the end of the rope, I'm sure some of you can relate. And I began to build my who I am more on what God said I was. And he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And if that is true, then I can be his child. I can be who he's created to me with or without children. And then, as you saw, several years later, we were blessed with children, which is a whole nother long story, but we won't tell that one today.
So similar to Joelle, I grew up in a family that we attended church. It was a thing we did on Sundays, and I wasn't saved until after we had been married. And similar to probably some of you, God's revealed himself to me in gradual steps and along the way, and just to see an inkling that he's there all the time, and especially with the birth of our sons, those were clear miracles because we didn't think we were going to have children. Joelle had some miscarriages prior to that, and we had actually started down the adoption road, and then we were blessed with three sons, all of which were miracles, and there's no explanation, no medical explanation for why we had children. I grew up on a farm, so I got to see the miracle of birth and the plants coming out of the ground every spring, and just knew that there was something more out there than just this a haphazard world around us, and that there was a God. Through the revelation of Christ in my life, I've gradually become to know Him personally more and more, day by day, over my life. So we're gonna dive into the mission family process. And before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about how we started this. Joelle mentioned a little bit about how we did our own, and we were in a time when our family was very young, and we built this tool and we used it very effectively, I think, with our family. But we started doing this with other people back in 2010 when our pastor at the time came to us and said, we would like you to teach an adult Sunday school class in our church. And we said, well, what should we do? And he said, I don't care what you do, just teach a class. And we were on the front end of getting some groups together at our church at that time. So we had gotten together and we said, well, this had been something that had been effective in our life, in our family, and we decided to put a curriculum together and working with couples in order to build their own family mission statements. And then we've just seen over the last 14 years how it has helped families get united and focused on what their end in mind is for their families. And it's all very personal as far as how we do it. And we've just seen through the Holy Spirit how people have come together, families have come together, couples have come together, and focused on what do we want our family to stand for and what do we want it to be when our children walk out the door, and then beyond that, when we're still here together after our children have left our home. So we go through a three-step process, and we've boiled this down to three very simple things. One that we call an urgent matter, because getting after this thing of defining our families and setting a course for them is really important. As I said before, when you're in the turmoil of changing diapers, making meals, and that day-to-day hustle that seems like it's never going to end, that's the time we really need to focus on what is this end in mind. And we're going to do some exercise with you to demonstrate the urgency that we really need to get after this thing. And so just like saving for retirement is like in your lives now, it's like, well, that's way out there someday in the future. But if we don't start saving today, we're not going to have anything in the saving account, or we're not going to take advantage of compound interest for saving in the future. So we need to get after that. Secondly, we're going to talk about appreciating the families we came from. We come into marriage and in relationships and then building families with baggage from the families that we came from. And we were born into families that we didn't choose to be born into, but we were, by the grace of God. And those families that we were born in have significant influence on how we are as people and how we are as parents. And that, have you ever looked at your spouse in the middle of a battle on something like discipline, and you look at each other and said, that's not the way that we did it in our family. And Joelle says, well, that's not the way we did it in our family. And so having some discussion about that, and we find that this is the most meaningful part of the process we go through, and that many times couples have not had those conversations about the influence on the families that we grew up in, their influence on us as adults. And we also have the opportunity to, if there's things that come through your family of origin, to say, we want to stop doing those things that we did in our family of origin, or we want to start new things in our family to carry forward, we have the opportunity to do that. And then lastly, we define the family we want to be and complete our family mission statement. And that's the fun part of looking into the future. And we're going to give you just a little bit of taste of each of these today. So we're going to start with an exercise of this thing called of urgent matter. And we would like you to use the QR code on your table there. And we're going to have you answer questions. What does today's culture say about the family and its importance? And then secondly, what are the influences on you and your family today?
You could put it up on the screen.
Yep.
I don't know if your phones reach up. This is Jamie's thing, these word cloud things. At church, we usually have like a wipe-off board, and I'm writing with marker.
So is that coming up for you, for the questions there?
So once it comes up on your phone, we're going to start with that first question, and you just start typing in as many responses that come to mind to be like a phrase, a word.
There we go.
Does today's culture say about the family and its importance?
And put as many in as you want.
And if you're having trouble, maybe just tell your answers to somebody who isn't. You could just type them in, because we just want to get a whole bunch of responses to look at. What does today's culture say about the family?
You know, we're picking up some steam there now.
When it kind of slows down.
Yeah. So are we pretty well done?
So you can keep adding while we talk about a few of these. So what I love about doing this is that it doesn't matter if I'm on the East Coast doing this or I'm on the West Coast, that the influences on our family today can be both positive, right? Or this culture, I'm sorry, that's the second question. What today's culture says about the family and its importance is kind of universal, and our culture, I think, is getting more and more anti-family. So as you see, family is relative, self-defined. You know, I often hear people say, you know, the culture says anything goes. Anything is a family. So different maybe than what the biblical definition of family is, right? Husband, wife, children. There may be, everything from, we have same-sex marriage up here. That being a single mom isn't necessarily good, bad, I think is what that person meant. Family is relative. I saw one, I think, about it's career ending, right? So changeable, not important at all. Family is relative, self rather than family. Women need to work, not a priority. Programming, yeah, program, let's do. I'm not sure if that's what you meant, right? Am I getting that? Like, over-programmed.
And the one I liked is the self over family.
Self over family. Low on the totem pole. Woke. But I did see some that the traditional love, kind. I thought I saw a few more positives. or that I think of as positive?
Essential support.
Forgiveness.
Love, forgiveness.
Yeah. But that overcommitted, the programming should be more important. It's brave. I love that. It's brave. Being a family is brave. It's more courageous now. It's not about me, right? As soon as you become a mom, it's definitely not about me. That we have all kinds of choices about family. Tolerant. And I do think that that's important, that we're becoming more tolerant. Like when my parents were having children, the traditional view could be very restrictive and hurtful and judgmental, right, for someone who's a single parent. And I'm sure that still happens in some circles. I think we're more tolerant and more accepting, I hope, and more supportive of families. But I still think our culture, for the most part, is giving us some messages that are not very helpful.
Okay, so let's move on to the next.
So we're going to do the next question, which I jumped ahead on. What are the influences on you and your family today? Also, for any of you that aren't familiar with this, although I understand from Allison you've done this before, I forgot to mention the last one. I believe the bigger words like social media and church mean more people, right, Jamie? More people, you know, yeah. The number of people, the bigger the words, the more people put that word in. How's that? So those larger words there, social media, church, family, right? So your church, I would pray, would have a real positive influence on your family. But you know, I worked for my church for 11 years, and sometimes working at a church can really drain you. So I had to work through some of that. But hopefully it can be a positive influence. We've also had, as Jamie mentioned, we've been leading Mission Family for about 14 years. And we find in almost every small group we do, about 150 families have gone through our program. And in I would say almost every single group we've done, there is someone in the room who's had church hurt. You know, a very negative experience in church, or a background in their family of origin, family they grew up in, that has turned them off from church and therefore from God. So we would pray that the church would be a positive influence. Social media is probably going to be the biggest one that you'll all mention, because it has such an impact, not just on your kids, right? But I know even for me, I can get caught up in, wow, that grandma's doing that thing, and I don't do that thing. You know? So we can get in that comparison trap as a parent, you know, getting sucked into that, or just becoming like addicted to our phones and away from our things. But the influence of what social media is telling us or our children, I think, is what most people think of when they think of this question of how it affects family.
So one of the things we like to emphasize with the things that influence us in the society around us, that if we don't actively influence our children when they're in our homes, that there's all this outside world around us that will influence them without our control over that. So one of the big things obviously now is social media, friends, and the people around us. and what people are exposed to. And it's so much more than even when you were young and growing up, and especially when we were young and growing up, that things didn't even exist then that are influencing us and influencing our children also. So again, one of our focuses, and one of the reasons we do this, is to say, how can we control some of these things that are positive and or negative for doing good, or controlling if they're a negative influence?
So, and I want to mention here, I'm noticing military, friends, community, and all of these things, right, can be positive and negative. Like you can, like I know, if we didn't have media in general, I might not feel as connected to my children who all live very far away. But I think, and the military life, from what we've observed, even though we haven't experienced it, well, I guess it affects us because we miss our son because he lives far away. He might have moved away anyway, even if he wasn't in the military. But I think the influences, right? One of the reasons why we, and Jamie will talk more about this in a few minutes, but one of the reasons why we did a mission statement was because we wanted to try to control how these things influence us, positive and negatively. And I think a community can be such a lifesaver, but it can also be sometimes where you have to create some boundaries, right? Even with, like, grandparents, gotta create some boundaries. Like, I was really excited that Allison mentioned that we are liked by our daughter-in-law. Like, that's my goal. The mom-co-moms that I work with right now, they think it's pretty funny whenever I say that, but I do. I say, one of my goals before my kids even got married was that I would be the kind of mother-in-law that would have a positive influence, that they would want to be around me, right? Because it's so heartbreaking if your family you grew up in and those boundaries maybe are harsh versus loving, or we're too... We're trying too much to be influential where we're not being helpful. So all of these things are part of why Jamie and I bring this up to you, is so that you know this, but just to remind you that you have such a such a huge influence on your children, and you can control these other influences. And our tool is just one of many, the mission statement, to do that.
So we're going to... move into a quick exercise with you. If you would each grab one of those IKEA tape measures that's on your table, and we are really excited that there's an IKEA right near the Orange County Airport where we can get more of these. And at home, we have to drive about 3.5 hours to get to an IKEA. So we're going to stop tomorrow on our way to the airport and restock on these.
I go in with like a bag, and then like he's like pretends to be shopping, and I'm like grabbing them. And the one time there was like a camera up there, I'm like, I wonder if there's a thing, if this is a thing. And then we have like people that have been through our mission family workshop or our small group, and they'll be traveling, and they'll come home with like piles of them for us. It's such a funny thing. But it's hard to find these, so Jamie will walk you through it.
Okay, so use the 1 to 100, the centimeter side of the tape, and the first thing you're going to do is find your age on there. Now, I'm going to pretend that I'm 30.
So I'm going to
find 30 on here. I'm going to rip the tape, and I'm going to take the piece that's up to 30, and I'm going to set this over here because those years are gone.
This is why, if you're a mentor, Mom, you could just, like, pretend you're 32, because it is a little depressing if you're...
If I did my real age, there wouldn't be much tape left. Okay, the next thing to do is to... get the age of your youngest child in your head. So, and I know that there's some unborns in the room. So that would be 18. So, and think about when they're going to leave. So generally our children leave our households when they're 18. So you're going to take 18 and subtract the age of your youngest child. So if your youngest child is 2, you're gonna subtract 2 from 18, that's 16, then count ahead from where your age to 16. So whatever that would be. So if I was 30 and I had 16 more years, I would cut this off at 46.
If anybody's confused, raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, say it slowly one more time. So, I'll try. Okay.
All right.
So you're at your age, right? So, Jamie, where was your?
Your age on the left-hand side. So take the difference between 18 and your youngest child, and then count ahead to the right and find that out.
So if your youngest child is 11, 18 minus 11, you would count up 9 from your age. And then tear, and you should be left with this. Keep this long piece for a minute.
So
just give them a few more minutes.
All right. So, and then tear that off.
Does anybody else need Allison to walk around and help? I prepped her ahead of time, so she and Kristen knew. All right, why don't you have them hold up there?
Okay, so my piece of tape here is 16 years with my example. So the longest piece that you're going to have there is going to be 18 years.
So everybody, can you hold up your tape?
Okay. All right. So we got tear that off when you get to the 18-year-old. So this, we would encourage you to take this short piece.
Let me say one more thing. I think we're still confused. I'm not sure how back there you got. So where's your little piece of tape, Courtney? Yeah,
okay.
Hold that one up. This is the piece I want you to look at, okay?
Yeah.
This is going to go on your refrigerator. And when you are ready to pull your hair out and send your children to grandma's for a year, you're going to look at this little tape and you're going to remember. I mean, I would enjoy that for maybe a few weeks. I couldn't do it. This little piece is what you have left to parent the youngest child in your home. Because, yes, I am still my son's mother, but I definitely stopped parenting him. Actually, probably before 18. He was very independent and very strong-willed, which is why he's a Marine. But you put this on. Go ahead.
So, again, we urge you this is an example that this period in our life, if we're going to live till we're 80-something, this 18-year period within our life is a very brief period, and we have that period to influence our family for how we want them to be when they leave our homes.
Now, Courtney, I do want to talk about this piece, okay? So, good. So, Jamie mentioned that he was 30, so assuming that I was 32 and the same age as him and the youngest, okay. And let's assume, and I've changed this over the years. I used to say, let's assume Jamie goes to heaven at 80. But now I'm going to say 90, because that just seems too close. So let's say he goes to heaven at 90. Okay. This is how much time, you hold this, please. This is how much time he and I have together alone in the house. Okay? So at some points, that sounds really great to you. And at some points, it's like, what? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. We've been doing this for what? Spending time without children in the home. And I really love it. We really have enjoyed our time as empty nesters. Yes, it's sad. Yes, it's hard. But we get to come visit great places like this, hang out with. And I mean, I had 3 sons. I have 3 daughters now, which is awesome. Granddaughter. So what I really want to point out about this is because the other one is focused And we're talking about intentional parenting today, and we want you to focus on how your children, when they leave your home, who will they be, and how will they have remembered, right, and become who they are that you have influence on. At the same time, we also want you to be intentional about your marriage. And I know you've talked about that in Mom Co., because I know we do in our Mom Co., that if you neglect each other during this parenting phase, when they come out of the house, you will look at each other and go, who the heck are you and what happened? So it's really important, and I know that that's really hard. Jamie was not in the military, but he traveled a lot and was away a lot, and the stress of that was really hard, and I often did not welcome him home with open arms. I was often more miserable when he walked in the door, which was kind of the opposite of what would be helpful if I wanted him to keep coming in the door. So, you know, we had to work through some of that. So this is a really good reminder, too. But today we're focusing on the parenting part.
So you might ask, why a family mission statement? And for us, it was born out of fear. And we looked at the world around us. We had a very young family and what was happening. And we were very scared for how our children might turn out. And so it was born out of fear that we decided to say, what's the vision for our family? And can we put a plan in place to help achieve that goal of that vision? So we also wanted to make a conscious effort to put God at the center of our family. Unless we're intentional about doing that, as we saw in the word cloud, we have a whole world around us ready to acculturate our children if we don't acculturate them ourselves, and we're very intentional about doing that. So that was really important for us. And as Joel said, you know, I had taken some business classes, and one thing that really rang true for me, there was a quote by Stephen Covey back in the 90s, just to say, begin with the end in mind. What does that look like? And so in business, it's very relatively easy to do that, to say, what is our goal? What is the vision for our business? And then you back up all the steps that you're going to put in place in order to achieve that mission and the vision for that business. The same can be true for our families. So if we have a vision of what it looks like for when our children leave our home, when they're 18-year-old, or whenever that is, we can back up and we can put plans in place and be intentional about how we're gonna work with our children with age-appropriate things in order to build those things into our family so that vision can become true when their children leave our homes when they're 18 or whenever that is. Now, it's not perfect, but with no planning, we're left to the devices and the whims of what happens. But if we do have a plan in place and we do have a vision for how our family wants, you want your family to turn out, then we have a fighting chance about being on the same page with our spouse and having a plan in place and working towards those attributes that we want to have in our children when they leave our home. And especially if we want to have them have a relationship with Christ, it's up to us to do that. It's not up to Sunday school. It's not up to somebody else. It's up to us as parents to lead them to a relationship with Christ. So, and then some things that would really help us is that this whole thing of planning is scriptural. And some things that really helped us, one was that helped us with the fear issue, and was Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So that's a big thing today, that the world around us wants to conform to what it thinks. But as Christians, we're called to be different in this world. So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of God's will is his good and pleasing and perfect will. So, and we also, as far as putting God at the center of our family, use Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So, and then lastly, one of the Old Testament verses that really helped us to keep God at the center of our everyday existence with our sons was Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on their door frames of your houses and on your gates. So that just instructs us to say, talking about God and the things of Him is an everyday occurrence that should be happening in our homes. Not a Sunday thing, it's an everyday thing to be talking about. And that's all age appropriate. Look at how the flowers came out today. Look at how this little bug came out of the dirt. Where did that come from? Where did the sky come from? How did the sun come up? So all those things that we see that are miracles every day that we take for granted of, we need to also be talking about them with our children.
So hopefully we've convinced you that intentional parenting is important and it is an urgent matter. So the second part that Jamie mentioned in the beginning that we found was so helpful in forming the mission statement, and as we said, when our pastor, you know, 14 years ago asked us to develop something and we developed this curriculum, we found that the most powerful part of this process is appreciating the families we came from. And I think you already got a glimpse when we were talking a little bit in the beginning about I grew up in New Jersey in the suburbs. Jamie grew up on the farm. We came into marriage from very different backgrounds. And as he mentioned, there were these, you know, flashpoints in parenting where we were like, what the heck? What, you know, my parents didn't do that. What are you, why are you saying that? Or why are you doing that? Like, we realized that. So as we, as a couple, began to work through parenting together intentionally, we had to examine the families we grew up in. And so when we do our Mission Family Workshop and we work parents through the process, we have them do homework where we send them home, and as a couple, we encourage them to answer the question, what were the positive and what were some of the negative influences of you had from your parents growing up in your home? Because, you know, life is messy, and parents try, hopefully, their best, but it doesn't always, it isn't always a role model for all of us. So that has been a really powerful part, and we also asked them, this is the other part of the question, what do you think your family of origin stood for? Because one of the reasons we're trying to get a mission statement, right, is for the Zimmerman family to stand for something, to be a team, right? We're on the same team as a couple and as a family. And so we asked the question, you know, what were some of the positive and negative influences? What did your family of origin stood for? And a lot of times people look at me like, well, I don't know, I have no idea. So I say, well, this is what I think my family of origin stood for. Love your neighbor, but worry about what they think. Right? Now, I probably don't have to give you much more explanation about how that could have affected me as a person. Worry about what they think. So love your neighbor, be loving, be kind, reach out, serve, you know, be busy. But, you know, let's not let anybody know or talk about anything bad that might be happening and deal with it. And so Jamie and I, when we came together and went through this process and did our mission statement, one of the things that I wanted to change, besides being very emotional, Jamie being very much more reserved, so I had to kind of tone down my desire to yell, because that's how I grew up. That was one thing I wanted to change, not to be so emotional. So one thing that I did when my kids were pushing my buttons that I didn't learn at home, but I learned from a mentor in my life, was I would put myself in timeout. And I would tell them. Sometimes all three of them would be pounding on the door, screaming for me while I was in my timeout, praying on my knees for patience. And I would hear those little three boys out there pounding on the door. But it usually helped me calm down, right? And so prayer was something that I began to take as an action step based on how I want my family to be. As Jamie mentioned, we wanted our children to know and follow Christ, and I needed to role model that. So one of the things that I began doing, I got the book, The Power of a Praying Parent, and Praying Mother? Stormy O'Martin's book. Anyway, and I had that book by my bedside. I also had Power of a Praying Wife, which actually really was a huge help in my marriage, and Power of a Praying Parent. And I would pray those prayers in there because I didn't really know how to pray. I just was like, help. So those were really helpful. And also, Jamie and I determined together that we were going to start praying together out loud. And that was really hard for us early on. It wasn't something either of us grew up with, we weren't really comfortable about. But that was another step that I took as a way I wanted to pivot and move in a different direction from where I had grown up.
One of the things for me is, as Joelle mentioned, our families are very different. Her family was very loud, had a lot of emotions. My family, not so much. No discussion about drugs, sex, and rock and roll, none of that. So we're pretty reserved.
And they didn't do good hugs. This was like when I first met my mother-in-law. That was the hug.
So one of the things that we were going through this process was, I knew my folks loved me unconditionally, and that was not a question, but it wasn't an everyday kind of conversation. So one of my resolves that when we went through this process was that I wanted my boys to know that I love them. So I resolved to tell them every day that I love them. And to this day, when we hang up the phone with them or we get off the Zoom call, I tell them I love them. And so there was never going to be any question in their mind that their dad loved them.
So that's an important part of the process. You know, you could go online and find a mission statement and put it up on your wall. You could put a scripture on there, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we believe that the process, if you're parenting as a couple, the process of talking through parenting is important. Showing your husband the little tape and talking about why it's intentional, why you need to take some time out from whatever, sports, running around, whatever it is that's keeping you really busy, taking a little retreat maybe to take some time to create a vision, because it's talking through it and talking through it periodically over the years. We've looked back at our mission statement when our kids graduated from college, and they were all before they got married. We got them together and we said, what do you think of our mission statement now that we're going to be, you're leaving the home? What could we change? What could we add to it? So it's a process that we really want you to go through. So the third step is defining the family you want to be. And so we're going to do our last word cloud activity. Jamie will talk a little bit about that. But now you know, you've got the QR code. You can go ahead and scan that. Because the third part of our mission statement process, the real meat of it is defining the family you want to be. That vision that Jamie was talking about, that end in mind vision. Oh, you guys are already doing it.
Yep.
We're getting good at this. Looking ahead to when your children leave your home, what characteristics do you want them to have? This in our, when we do this in our workshop or in our small group with parents, we fill the board and we come up with so many wonderful characteristics. And then I usually email them to everybody in the group, and we have time for their homework where they're going to do it at home together, brainstorm some more, and look at Bible verses maybe that are meaningful to them. And that really helps you turn from, okay, this is what I grew up with that I really don't want to repeat, to those things that I really do want to help instill in my children. For example, one of the things that I tried really hard to not instill in my children, I didn't want them to worry about what the world thought about them. And I remember one morning when Paul wanted to go to hat day in junior high, and he wanted to wear this hat that he'd gotten that said, "Truckin' for Jesus." You know, remember, he was like sixth or seventh grade. And he'd gotten this at a Christian event, and I was like, somebody's going to make fun of him. All these things are in my head of like what people are going to think. And I was like, zip my lips and go, "That's awesome, honey. Have a great day." And then he came home and told me that the Christian kids that he knew made fun of him, but the non-Christian kids were asking him about it. So I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't shut him down and turn him into a worry about what people think. Wow, look at all of these great things. Loving, confident, confidence, kindness, kind. There's a big theme there, right? And I'm thinking about preschoolers. This is going to be first in mind, right? Just thinking about, my grandson who's three. Like, you know that's not in our nature. We're not born to be kind. You all know that if you have a toddler, right? They really are all about me, myself, and I want it now, and... So that is something you're all probably working on really hard because most of you have preschoolers, kindness. And I also think confidence, I don't think that has come up as big until more recent years. And I think with what we talked about before with social media, right, or peer pressure or how other kids treat you, you want your child to be able to know who they are, to be able to wear that hat, right? Or say that prayer for their friend and not worry like what they're gonna think, or standing up to ask a question of someone, you know, a teacher even maybe, who is maybe they need to have a conversation with because they disagree with them, and how they could do that confidently and respectfully.
So this is a great list, and very similar to what we see from other groups with the adjectives that you would like to have, or attributes you would want to have built in your kids before they leave your home. And so a couple questions. Where do our children learn the most? At home, from us. So, and I would look at these attributes on here and then say, are we demonstrating these things in our home? And are we working on them with our children? So one of the things that when our guys were growing up, I had to make a check in the thing that I was doing, some things that I was doing. I was not demonstrating being respectful to others. So they played sports growing up, and we did the usual thing after a game, especially when they were young, about going, you know, okay, who did what during the game? What did the referees do? What did the coaches do in the whole nine yards? And we would, on the ride home, we would talk about the game and what went right, what went wrong, and that sort of thing. And inevitably, I would be disrespectful to the referees and the coaches and saying, well, why did they do that? Oh, that was a terrible call, and all that, you know, rehashing things. And it clicked in me that, like, I was not being respectful to the people that were in positions of authorities with my sons when they were either on the ice or on the playing field, and had to stop doing that and said, okay, we would talk about the game, but we wouldn't talk about being, you know, those people that were in positions of authority when they were on the playing field or when they were at practice. And then later on, because they continued to play sports through high school and college and that sort of thing, worked to coach them to talk with those people that were in positions of authority, whether it was a coach or a teacher or somebody else, to do that on their own and to stand up for themselves, to say, okay, this person is in a position of authority, but how do I talk with them to get my point across to them? So that was one of the things I had to stop doing and had to realize, it's like, oh, this is not good. I have really a lot of influence over my sons with the way I'm acting, and had to stop doing that. And there was probably a lot of other things I had to do also, but that was one of the things I can recall.
So I don't know if you can read all these words from out there. Can you see them pretty well? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think this would be another great step. You don't have to go to our workshop. You've gotten a lot of tips here. You don't have to do our five-session thing, but, you know, we love California. If you want to have us back, we would, you know, come for 5 weeks and hang out, especially right now because, as I said, my girlfriend called me yesterday to warn me about the snow coming that might slow down our trip. So as you go to define that vision for your family and write your mission statement, we encourage you, as I said, to try to make it about your family. So what we encourage parents to do, and we have a bunch of handouts that we give them, and they can go home and read through them, but most of it is from a book by Stephen Covey called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. And he talks about mission statements in there and has some exercises. And this is what Jamie and I used, and we still use with our families doing this today. We asked ourselves some questions. If we had one principle from which we want our family to operate, what would that principle be? Or what does our family stand for? What qualities define our family? What kind of feelings do we want in our home? How do we want to build relationships? And we would encourage, and we encourage people to involve their children in the process. Our kids were old enough, they were 4 and older when we did this mission statement at home, and we had family, you know, talk time at the table, and we talked about what it meant to have a mission statement, and you can use, there's some great ideas in that book and other books where you can, like, say, okay, we're going on a vacation, what would you bring? You know, you'd have to know where we're going, right? You have to know where you're going. Do you pack a bathing suit or do you pack your snow pants? So, you know, you talk about where is our family going? We want to be a family that loves each other, that loves Jesus. You know, you help them contribute. And kids can come up with some great things. A lot of times what we hear from parents is that their kids say things like, we want our family to be safe. We want to feel safe. We want to feel loved. They have different ways of saying it. We have kids who will say, well, I want ice cream feelings in my house, you know, or I want to have fun, or I want to have an adventure. So it's really helpful if you can put that into your mission statement so that when it's hanging up in your house, they know they helped contribute to that. And we often had little fingerprints on our mission statement, because we have a statement that says, we will respect others' privacy and points of view. 3 boys, 17 and 19 months apart, often bicker, and they're very competitive, and they would make fun of each other's points of view. So, you know, we could go back to that and explain that to them. I will read you our mission statement because people are always wondering, like, what they sound like, so you can see that it's fairly straightforward. We brought a notebook full of, I don't know how many. We've had 150 families go through it, so there's a bunch in there if you feel like looking at them. But in a way, I'd rather you just came up with your own because it should be represent your family. As members of the Zimmerman family, we will love God and show others his love through our actions. We will follow Jesus' teachings every day. We will be honest and responsible. We will respect others' privacy and points of view. We will work towards becoming self-reliant and independent, but ask for help when needed. We will love one another, work hard together, play together, and nurture individual talents. Now, you would know that our kids wouldn't understand all of those phrases at that time. So we made some kid-friendly things that we hung up next to the job chart, and we tried to help them. But as I said, just like with your characteristics, you're working on things developmentally as they're appropriate, right? And then as they got older. So that's why this statement really didn't change, and it really was more about us and eventually about them.
So with or without a family mission statement, you can begin intentional parenting today. Think about beginning with the end in mind. Talk with your spouse about what that looks like, and to start to chart a plan. That's really important to do that. And what are those characteristics that you want to have built into your children before they leave your home? How does that start today? Some simple things that we did was as you heard in Joelle's, when she read our mission statement, was independence. And darn it, we got 3 independent guys that we don't see very often. But one of those things was we wanted to have them understand how to handle money before they left our home, and nobody teaches you how to handle money. They don't teach in school or anyplace else, so it needs to be taught in our home. And how many people have seen the train wrecks of people that don't understand how to handle money when they leave home? So we started very early on giving them allowance and then building that up to and building the practices of you have to give some to church, we have to save some, and then we have some to use. And so then built upon that with age-appropriate things so that when they got into high school, or even before, when it came time for buying school supplies and clothes, we said, here it is, this is how much you have to spend, and that's it. And so they had to figure out the budget for the clothes and the supplies and the whole nine yards, and that was all they were gonna get. And so there was a dose of reality when they came to that was it, that there wasn't an endless supply of money that was gonna buy those things that they needed. They were able to do that. Then we installed, had their own checking and savings accounts, and then when they went out to college, they had their money, and that was it to do what they needed. And certainly, people get into issues on their journey, just like we did when we were young, and we were there to support them with that. But they have the understanding of how to do those things. So if that's an important thing that you determine in your attributes you want to have built into your children, start at age-appropriate things and then build upon that as they grow. So one thing I just wanted to mention also is that some of you are military families and you have extended periods of absence of your spouse. And having a vision for your family, regardless of your situation, but I think it's more difficult with the absence of a spouse over a long period of time. So being on the same page and having an agreed upon vision for where your family is going is super important, because you're likely the one that's left at home to carry out the mission when your spouse is gone. So having that agreed upon mission before they leave is really important. So just as the Marines have a mission that they go out on, and if they get separated from their command post, they know what the mission is and they can go and accomplish it. And it's just as your spouse leaves and you're home carrying out the mission for your family, you can have confidence in the two of you that you're carrying it out. Now, the tactics are going to change because life changes while your spouse is away, but you can have confidence that say, okay, we agreed upon this, and so we're moving in that direction so that we can do that. So that, you know, it happened to us when I traveled a little bit. I would come home and say, well, why did you do this? And
why didn't you go to all four hockey practices with three children with one car while I'm gone? Why didn't I?
But it came back to the thing that, okay, yeah, we were on the same page. I understood. And so, again, just appreciation for the absence of a parent being out of the house for a long time and then coming back is very important, to be on the same page, to carry out the mission of your family together. But then you're going to be in those times of separation that it's really important to do that.
So we're going to show you, if it works, to wrap up here, a brief video from one of the couples that participated in our group not that long ago, so that, you know, it's not just people that have lived it decades ago, but recently, and how they took kind of a statement that's really more for them and then made it actionable for their children. It's just a couple minutes, and then we're going to say one more thing and let you have your question and answer time.
Hey guys, good to be with you. Jamie and Joelle are some good friends of ours, and they've invested into us as a family, and so we're hugely grateful for that. We're Josh and Katie. I'm one of the pastors over at Faith Baptist Church in Cortland, New York. We have three kids, Josiah, who's four, Thea, who is two, just about to turn three in just about a week, and then Esmeralda, who just turned one back in January. Love them all. They can be a handful at times, but thank you to this class that you guys are taking right now. It has become, made some of those challenging times a little bit easier. So we have our mission statement that we want to read to you, so Kay's going to go ahead and read that for you guys.
All right, so Maurer's family mission statement. I will seek to glorify God through putting Him first in my life and representing Him in my actions, words, thoughts, and relationships. I will love God and love others. Therefore, I will strive to have personal time with God centered in the Bible and prayer, to shift my focus off of me and onto God's desires for my life. Treat others with kindness and love, practice discernment in my choices, and contribute to our home, filling it with love and grace. Speaking the truth in love, avoiding gossip, and encouraging others to build them up. I will practice honesty and integrity, even though it may seem hard. Think on things that are pure, good, and true, putting others before myself. Respect those who God has placed over me. I will obey them and accept their decisions. When I disagree, I can respectfully share my opinion and ask questions so that I may learn and grow. I will love my peers and treat them as I would want to be treated. So the verses that we focused on were Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and just being salt and light in our world. And so at the time that we took this class, we only had Josiah, and he was under a year old. So we weren't able to involve our kids, and we didn't even have the girls yet. But what we've done since then, since Josiah and Thea are very able to talk and communicate feelings, is we've just kind of shortened that a bit for them. So we say, Maurers are, and they can fill in the blank. Maurers are kind. Maurers are love. Maurers are generous. Now we're working on Maurers are leaders, and also working on being good followers in different situations. So that's kind of what we've done to keep the kids involved and to make it a family mission statement while they're still young.
So I just want to wrap up a little bit. We will be here after we're hanging around here during your table talk, and we have some questions for your small group, your table leader. And I just wanted to mention that we have a couple of resources that we put on the outline. One of the newer ones that we just started using is Habits of the Household. That a couple, we did this workshop in Maryland a number of years ago, and a couple there recommended it to us. And if you do any Instagram, I just love following the author, Justin Early. He has like really great little short encouragements, and he's all about intentionality and giving habits. So then there's some other resources that we've already mentioned. But I'm sure most of you, well, maybe not, but I think Momco, we've had Paul Tripp before. He's the guy with this huge mustache. And he's written this great book, Gospel Parenting. And one of the things that he says is, God never calls you to a task without giving you what you need to do it. He never sends you out without going with you. And it always reminds me of before I was in Momco as a mom, there was a small women's group at the first church we went to as a married couple. Our kids were a handful. It was before we did our mission statement. And, you know, I had gone through infertility. It was what I asked God for. But now I had three under three, and I was exhausted all the time and overwhelmed, and I really didn't think that I was doing a good job at all. And this woman that we called Grandma Leah, who would be like a mom mentor, was in our group, and I handed her the baby who was screaming, and I was trying to get the other toddler, and I just was, I can't do this anymore. And she said to me, God knew, I always cry when I do this and I try not to, God knew who your children were gonna be. He knew you were gonna be their mother. You have everything you need to be able to do this. You just have to ask him and ask those of us around you that can help you. So we're just so grateful to be here, and we'll be around after. We brought the notebook with some other mission statements, and we hope you'll have some great discussion on some of the points that we brought up before you go home today. Oh, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Thank you.